Hello, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is E on the Go. I'm, of course, your host, Eric Pullman, and I am on the go right now. Currently stuck in traffic. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It's Pi Day 3.14159265 8, or is it 6? I don't know. That's where I cut off, but let's see, how long can you go? How many digits of pi do you know? Pi is, of course, the ratio of the circumference to the radius, I believe. It's how many times can the radius fit around half of a circle? Half of the circumference. Maybe then it's the ratio of the diameter to the circumference. Anyway, it has to do with the half of the circle and the space around the circle. And you see it all the time. You see it in every single wheel. No matter what, you know that the radius of a circle is going to fit around that circle 6.28 times. Okay, so it's the diameter. It's how many times the diameter can fit around that circle. But honestly, if you're working with circles, you're normally going to use the radius, and that's why that's where the confusion comes in. It's 2 pi r, right? 2 pi r. So pi, what is pi? It's the ratio of any circle, any and all circle. Get out there and get a string, just any string, and loop it, like, just connect one side of any circle that you see, whether it be a tire, whether that be, I don't know, any circle. Go out and get any circle and take the string and connect it from one side to the other. Do that a couple of times, right? Well, yeah, how about this? Cut it out and only get one of those lengths, right? Get one string that is equivalent to the diameter. And then mark with chalk, or any sort of marker, and see how many times that string fits around the circle. It'll go around 3 times pretty perfectly. And then just a little bit more. There will be a little bit more left. And what is that little bit more? What is that little bit that's left over every single time? Well, that's 0.14159 if you calculate it. If your device is so accurate, you will get the digits of pi accurate to that many, accurate to how precise your measurement is. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. This happens every single time with circles. So why are we so interested in circles? Like, what do circles ever do for us? Well, I'm on the go, right? I'm on the go. I'm utilizing 4 different circles just to propagate me through space right now. I'm utilizing 4 tires to make sure that I am going in the direction that I'm going. And what about right in front of me? Right in front of me, I have a steering wheel. Also, something that rotates me and determines the direction I'm going in, thus. Even my internal combustion engine that is occurring within the engine right in front of me, that specifically deals with circles. So we utilize this concept all of the time, and it's actually super counterintuitive for humans to understand circles for this very reason. What is a circle? If we were to define it by an equation, what we would do is we would say, well, x squared plus y squared equals 1. That's your unit circle, right? And what does that mean? Because, you know, we're looking at something with x's and y's, and we see this, and we're thinking, well, my God, like, this is so complicated. Why would I ever want, for one, to learn this? 2, where does this apply in my life? The age-old, when am I ever going to use this question? Well, like I said, I'm using it right now. I just don't know I'm using it. And the more that we know things that are going on, the more we can actually interact more efficiently with our environment. So circles, what are they? To me, what a circle is, and we can get pretty heavy into trigonometry or calculus and really define like what a unit circle is, you know, where special angles are in this unit circle. And it's all quite fascinating to me, but to the average person, you're left thinking, why would I ever want to know this? And the reason is because we, like I said, it makes you interact with our environment so much better. You know, why is it that I'm holding this steering wheel at the very particular point that I am? Even my muscles itself deal with rotation. The contractile muscles that actually pull and relax, they actually rotate my arm around my elbow. So your very walking ability and your very lifting ability deals specifically with rotation. So it almost perplexes me how rotation itself is so counterintuitive for humans to understand, but yet we use it with our very bodies. So to know more about circles, to know like, say, the most efficient place to hold a circle and produce a force on it, or where I should let go of a ball if I want it to have a straight trajectory, say, like, for basketball, you know, like baseball, right? Say if I'm trying to throw a baseball at someone, I want to rotate my arm in a very particular way and release that ball at a particular point such that the tangent to the circle, and you know, a tangent really is just kind of like a line, a straight line that just touches the circle at any one point. So if I want to release that ball, I'm going to release it at a straight line that basically flies off my circle. So at what point should I release it in that circle to throw it most accurately or most efficiently? And like, that's where we use these circle maths. So to look at pi, you know, why do we celebrate Pi Day? Or, you know, why is it that we're utilizing pi and we love it so much as mathematicians, as scientists, as those in the technological field, even those who code specifically deal with these irrational numbers. And why? Like, it's because it's everywhere. This one constant, this pi, is literally everywhere you look. So we have to look at it deeper and say, okay, well, what is this thing, and why is it the way that it is? And yeah, so why am I learning about circles? Because it's everywhere. Because literally, you could not move without it. So, and honestly, I've been thinking this. The way I think about circles is the way in which you change dimensions. This is going to get a little bit heavy, but if you're thinking about, you're moving in the X direction, right? You're moving along in the X direction, and then suddenly you want to change into the Y direction. You want to change a little bit into the Y dimension, right? We're only talking about 1 to 2 dimensional space, but that's what you do. You basically, you begin to rotate. You begin to rotate by something called a theta, and a theta is just an angle, and you rotate by a certain amount, thereby producing this arc subtended by that angle. That's how we call it in trigonometry. And like, that's basically, that relates to torque. That relates to like the force that you produce, right? So torque is force times a lever arm. That's how we kind of think of it in physics. So let's just say you have a tiny, teeny, tiny little hair and you're pushing down on it. It's not going to produce a lot of force, like a lot of torque. However, if you have like a really long, let's see, like say you're trying to jack up a car, right? You have to push down on that very long lever. And why is that? It's because it takes a lot less force to produce the torque, the rotational force, to rotate something. So, you know, you'll often see those who can't push down on a lever, they'll get an even longer lever and push down on it. Like, why is that? Well, it's super useful for this very perspective, because if you elongate the lever arm, you can actually increase the torque and produce by producing like the same amount of force at a longer lever arm. So, you know, to look at these circles and to think, well, why would I ever need to know that? Well, if I couldn't lift something, if a lever wasn't able to be pulled down, I would just increase the lever arm. Like, it would be super simple for me to think that if I knew circles in a good way. So to know the concepts of circles and to know the properties of them, you can know that you can almost change dimensions in this way. And how is that super science fiction-y? You know, it almost elicits that, like, a tingly sensation in your stomach, thinking, my God, I'm on to something. I could be determining maybe, like, the change in the time dimension. Or like, you know, which is our fourth dimension, right? Or what if there's a fifth dimension? Is there a way that I could somehow propagate myself more efficiently through Hilbert space? You know, like, you can get super nerdy with it. And it's awesome. That's why I love circles. And pi is inexorably tied, which means that it's just, like, always tied to this certain concept of pi. And that's why we love it. That's why we celebrate it. That's why on March 14th, 3/1/4, we celebrate it. This is it. And what time is it? It is 15:40. Oh, shit. So if I'm going by military time, you know what that means. That means in 19 minutes, it will be 3:14 at 1:59. Actually, no. No. Sorry, I'm dumb. Unless you represent it's as the minutes as a fraction of like 40/60, like maybe I might be close right now to 1:59, but we're still within it. We are within the official pi day if you're going by military time. If it's 1:59 that you're dealing with, I have missed it by a good amount. But it's some part in the world. You could be listening to it right now in 3.14159. But at that point, if you're somewhere else, you might be using military time, if you can understand me. Or maybe you know English for some reason, which is pretty cool too. That's awesome. So that's why we love pi. And like, changing dimensions. I guess I didn't touch too much on that, but it's that, you know, if I want to go from the X dimension to the Y dimension, I have to utilize rotation. I have to utilize this whole concept of X squared plus Y squared equals 1, this circle. And then I rotate within that circle. And I actually effectively change dimensions in that way. You know, how do we do that same thing with the third dimension? Well, we could rotate, you know, like say a flat plane in the Z dimension, which is, I guess, what we often do. And then say if we rotated that by 2 pi radians, then we'll get like a what would that be? It would just be like a cylinder. Yeah, it would be a cylinder. So yeah, it's cool because like when you know circles that well, when you can like understand centripetal force, you actually see the world in a really different way. Say you're going around a circle and you feel that force pulling you. It's pulling you away from the center of the circle, like, you know, like, that, it's trying to throw you off there, and, like, you begin to see the entire world in a different way when you can understand physics and mathematics. So, when you're in class and you're thinking, my God, when am I ever going to use this? Like, that's the wrong question. You're starting from a premise that you're never going to use something. or that you need to somehow find a way to utilize this. This is objectively true. No matter what, this thing exists. And it exists within every phenomenon that we utilize as human beings. So for you to say, when am I ever going to use this? You're just starting from the wrong point. You're starting from the wrong point of view. Because you have to think, like, how can I use this? You know, that's the right question. In what way can I utilize this principle to maximize my life? Instead of asking the instructor to elicit these ideas, you have to elicit them yourself. And then once you can create, like, when you're going to use every particular principle, you can then think of new ways. Like, why are you relying on your instructor to create these different things when you yourself have a brain that can think, that can conceive of all of these different ideas? Why would you rely on the imagination of your instructor who's just one person? Why not every single student imagine, use their powerful imagination to think of new ways that this could be applied? Because that's where innovation lies. You don't ever propagate the species whatsoever by just simply... Sorry, these are like speed bumps or something in the road? All right, anyway. You don't ever propagate the species or improve us as a community by saying, well, what is that guy doing? How is he doing his lab? What is she up to? You know, like, you never create any sort of improvement by continuing the actions of others. You only propagate what we're currently doing. In order to really improve us and make changes vertically, you have to think outside the box. You have to think, well, what can I do with this? In what way can I utilize this to benefit me? Even if it is for yourself, there are other people in your position. And you have to think, well, you know, if I take this fat, basically, if I take this fatty substance and I mix it with sodium hydroxide and methanol, I can make biodiesel, right? Okay. Well, I have a diesel car. All right, let's see if I can get free fuel out of this. And then you just benefit yourself and like subsidize your own fuel. And then at some point you say, well, you know, I have this whole system set up. And I know that guy over there has a diesel truck. I wonder if he might be interested in buying my diesel. That's how businesses are made. You find a deficit in your own life and you think, well, how can this assist others after you've helped your own self? Necessity is the mother of invention, and the only perspective that you have is your own. So make it your own. Make it personal. Make it profitable. Make it something so that you can benefit off of the thing that you invent. And then help others just in doing so. In fulfilling your own needs, you begin to fulfill the needs of others. It's like, I don't know if that's a principle or if that's a concept that's out there in philosophy, but it's something that is just true, and it's just everywhere. If I don't have a place to park, right? Like I'm parking now. Say if I didn't have a place to park and I made some sort of like gravel area for me to park, and let's just say in doing so, I make enough space so someone else can park. Now I can charge people for parking. Now I can make enough money. If I think that, you know, like I don't have enough money to make a lawnmower, but I know this certain principle about lasers, and then what if I can actually cut lawns with lasers? Is that a thing that I can do? And then you research, you know, light amplification by the stimulated emission of radiation, which is what laser stands for, ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not. And like, and you just, you create something out of the blue, out of nothing, out of just your imagination. And you don't just need your imagination though. It's, you need physical concepts that restrict you. When you invent something, you have to rely upon the way in which the world fundamentally works. And that's why I like to study it, because you can't really do anything unless the laws of physics say that you can do it, basically. So you have to study those laws of physics, and you have to think, well, what can I do? So that's my tangent for the day. Funny, because we use the word tangent in here. And tangent is something that we often use colloquially. It's something that we use in speech just as in a normal basis. However, tangent, really what it means is just the exact same concept that I'm talking about. It's to fly off the circle in a straight path toward a certain direction. You know, towards straight away from the circle that you're spinning on. Easier to show than it is to illustrate with voice alone, but yeah, that's a tangent. And you know, this is Pi Day, ladies and gentlemen. So enjoy your Pi Day. This is the end of this segment. I might add another, who knows? But I hope you all have a nice Pi Day in any case, and thank you for listening.